welcome to another edition of the Armchair Directors, where each episode we take a look at one of cinema's great directors and their essential films. This week on the show, we are stopping at Bollywood and looking at the hit 2010 film My Name is Khan, directed by Karan Johar. With me here today to talk about My Name is Khan is Professor Maria Westhaver. Professor Westhaver, welcome back to the show.
Thanks for having me.
So this is probably the first film we've seen on the Armchair Directors that I'm a little bit mixed on. I don't love this film. I wouldn't say I disliked it. It's sort of just somewhere in the middle for me. And I will definitely get into that. So I was wondering what your opinion is. Do you like it, or are you somewhere kind of where I am?
I love this movie. I love this movie because it works so well when I show it in my class. But I give them sort of some background to build them up to what to expect. Because a Bollywood movie is unlike an American movie, except the movies from the 40s where we had musicals, where you'd have a couple who were out going for a walk and suddenly, you know, the orchestra would swell behind them and you would just take it for granted that they could just break into song and it was totally normal. But we don't do movies that way anymore. And when we do, it's a big deal, like when Chicago came out, mm-hmm. or even something like the remake of Moulin Rouge. It's like, well, you know, our audience is really going to sit through a musical. Well, they still like that format in India. The thing about Bollywood also is that it's not just like the 40s in that they still like the musicals. Mm-hmm. It's like the 40s when we had the production code, where you could go to a movie that was meant for every audience. It was really mm-hmm. basically a G movie. They would have adult themes, but they would sort of fold them in a way that your 7-year-old nephew isn't going to understand it next to you. Mm-hmm. But it would also be presented in a way where your grandmother sitting on your other side would understand it, but it wouldn't be embarrassing.
You know.
Yes, oh my God, the nudity, the language, whatever. But they spread the movie out to almost 3 hours every single time. And that's because they try to put everything in there.
Yeah,
because you do have the 7-year-old and you do have the grandmother and you do have all audiences. So they tend to put in a whole lot of plot devices so that everybody gets something.
And that is probably my biggest complaint about the movie. I got topical issue overload in this movie. I mean, so I'll just go. First, it's talking about, you know, people with Asperger's mm-hmm. syndrome. And then it talks about, you know, relationships in India at the beginning between Hindus and Muslims. And then it talks about, you know, post-9/11 America and Islamophobia. And then it talks about Hurricane Katrina. And then it talks about hate crimes. And then it talks about the 2008 presidential election with Barack Obama. It's just beating me over the head with all these topical issues. And I watched this film in two halves. The first, I watched 2 days. So the first part I watched it was all the love story, them falling in love, like, wow, this is really good. And then, but it was before the 9/11 thing happened. And then the second part, it got to that. And then it just, I mean, don't get me wrong, I know those are important issues and everything, but you just don't need to beat me over the head with it, what you were doing with that last hour and a half. I just got, okay, I get it. That's just me. That might just be me, but that's my big problem, is too many plot devices, especially in that the last 30 minutes and everything. I thought the scene when, you know, he's reuniting with her and this guy just randomly comes up and stabs him because he turned in that one guy to the FBI. I was just like, okay, enough with all this added drama. I feel they're just adding too much drama.
But you got to put everything in there. You got to put in everything you want to say. It's like having a party where you invite every person you know. You're going to get out all of your silver and china, your best stuff. You're going to wear all of your good clothes. There's just no holding back. Mm-hmm. You throw everything in there. And so I'm not surprised that was your reaction. But that's really the way Bollywood movies are constructed.
Yeah, because I was looking reviews online. It's got solid reviews on Rotten Tomatoes and IMDb. And once again, I know the internet's not the end-all be-all for whether a movie's good or not, but it's overall gotten good reviews. But there are people who are saying, like, this is a pretty good movie, but my God, does it beat you over the head with all the topical issues?
And, you know, the thing of it is I've shown it over many years, and some years it does better, like when we had that Hurricane Sandy. I had actually shown it during International Week during the film festival, and that particular thread was very, very meaningful mm-hmm. to that crowd. But most of the time, I think that that whole business about the flood could be completely removed.
Yes, that's what I was like.
But it's a parallel scene, because there's a scene early on where he's pumping out the water when his neighborhood is flooded.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of parallel scenes. There's a scene where he's actually kicked to the ground as a kid by the bullies in the schoolyard, and then later it happens to his adopted son. There's a lot of setup and comparison with two separate bracketing scenes.
And when, you know, when she, you know, she was like jokingly in the beginning saying, "It makes me want to kill myself." He goes, "No, please don't die. Please don't die." And then when she's actually just want to kill myself after the anger about her son, then it's, "No, please don't die. Please don't die." But it's actually not lighthearted comedic. It's more dramatic.
See, making him have Asperger's is a brilliant plot device because it allows him to be brutally honest about everything he thinks. And that gives you a chance to really, it gives the character a chance to say things that people don't usually say.
I do like the scene when he's trying to sell the beauty products and he goes, "This is, you'll smell like a new bride," or anything. And the woman says, "I'm divorced." Like, well, we don't have anything
to the newly divorced. Yeah, that whole sequence is actually pretty funny where he's trying to sell the products.
And so I'll be, so we talked about this. This is my first Bollywood cinema because I always talk like, well, does Slumdog Millionaire count? No, it doesn't. So this is my first Bollywood film. And, you know, it's interesting. Like Bollywood, when you think about it, they produce more movies than Hollywood does, right?
They do. They are number one. And the U.S. is not even number two. The U.S. is number three behind Nigeria.
Oh, wow.
In terms of output. Yeah, India is definitely at the top, and they make a lot of movies. And it's a big event, kind of like back in the heyday of American film, where it was a social thing. The whole family went. You went to see whatever was playing, and you went for several hours. You know, people will bring food, and it's very inexpensive to go to the movies. And all of the songs have been pre-released because the music in the film makes up about 25% of the profit.
Mm-hmm.
So by the time you go to the movie, you already know all of the songs. You and the whole audience knows all of the songs. And this particular movie has, you know, the king of Hollywood, Shah Rukh Khan, and Kajol, who's also very, very famous. And she comes from a family of Bollywood actresses, too. So it's just you can't miss with that combination and all that music. But they don't have any dancing in it, which is unusual for Bollywood.
And so, what is with these dance numbers? Is it like a musical where they have it relate to the story, or is it just sort of like, once again, bringing up Slumdog Millionaire, where it's just sort of the movie's over, but here's the celebration dance for how the movie ended or something?
The musical numbers are usually a place, this is where they put the so-called sex. You're never going to see anybody making out or having sex in a Bollywood movie. They just don't do that. But they'll have these interludes where you have what's meant to be a progression of their romance, and you'll see them playing basketball together, walking on the beach together, and there's this, you know, MTV style video style, you know, the way they frame the actors and they show them in the best light.
Like
they all
video.
Look like those beautiful posters of, you know, romantic scenes on the front of Hallmark cards. And those scenes are important for the adults in the audience who know that this is the placeholder for the things that you're not going to explicitly show, or to foreshadow something to come, or to give you an insight into the character's motivation. And they're meant to be the highlight of the movie, because when you get the DVD, you know, we can go straight to each chapter. They'll have a section where you can go right to each song because that's actually a huge draw.
So when you're talking about how, like, you know, Bollywood cinema isn't like allowed to, you know, something show something like graphic violence or sex in it, is it because, like, say they did show something, like say you made like the Indian version of Eyes Wide Shut, would that like be not be allowed like at all by law, or would it be allowed but they would just, people would just stay away from it because it'd be too like blasphemous or what have you?
There have been movies made in India by Satyajit Ray, who made movies about poverty and serious topics. It's not that it's, I don't know that it's so taboo that you couldn't make it at all, but they don't want to see it. They don't want to see those things, so that's why it's not in there.
So it just wouldn't make money.
It wouldn't make money. And the other thing about the dance scenes, what I've noticed recently is one of the ways they sneak it in there is there'll be at some point in the many plotted devices somebody's wedding, which means everybody's dressed up and there's music, and so there's dancing.
Yeah, and you even see that in this movie when the two characters get married, and you know she's dressed up in all her gear, and he's dressed up in all his gear. So
he's sort of see that. Dancing like Elaine on Seinfeld.
So you talked a little bit about the actor Shah Rukh Khan. I actually thought he did a good job portraying, you know, somebody with, you know, Asperger's. I think whenever you try to portray somebody, you know, who has that problem like that, it's always tough because you don't know, like, is he hamming it up? Is he overacting? It's really tough. It's a really tough line to walk. But I thought he did a good job of portraying somebody who would have Asperger's.
He apparently stayed in character all the time.
Oh, wow.
And he had real difficulties with migraines because of the way he hunched over and the way he, you know, very seriously would stare at things, you know, very, very focused. He ended up having a lot of headaches from that. He also, in real life, is a Muslim man married to a Hindu woman.
Oh, wow. So probably drawing from his own experiences.
Exactly.
And then, and you know, he said he's a big Bollywood star. So is he like, you know, like say like a George Clooney?
He's like George Clooney, but like on steroids in terms of fame, which is hard for us to imagine because maybe before you saw this, you didn't even know who he was. But his net worth is something like $60 million. He's the highest paid man in film outside of the U.S. You know, in Asia, he's, you know, a household name, just incredibly famous and rich.
And so, you know, I was also doing some research. The Khan and Kajol, they've done a few movies together, and I was looking at that they were considered the golden pair.
Yes.
They're like this great couple, on-screen couple.
Yeah, they've made at least four movies together, too, with this particular director. And I think they've got really good on-screen chemistry. But I think she's magical. I think she's been wonderful in everything she's done. And speaking of plots that go all over the place, there's the movie she made that I used to show in class before My Name is Khan, which is called Fana. Which stars Kajol and Amir Khan. And in that movie, she plays a woman who's blind, which is a great plot device because it allows us to stare at her and everybody to stare at her. And she's just an incredibly beautiful woman. And then she meets Amir Khan, they fall in love, and she's going to have this operation to restore her eyesight. Meanwhile, a bomb goes off and she thinks that he's dead. And she's pregnant with his child. And then there's the intermission. And then when you come back, it's like a completely different movie. Now it's like a James Bond film where you find out he's not dead. He's really undercover working for the Indian Army. And it goes off into this completely different thread, which it tries really hard to pull together in the end. But it is, you know, it's an action adventure movie and it's a horror film and a romance and everything all at once.
Definitely feel that's like this film, how the first half it's like a love story and then the second half social issue movie. Yeah.
Get everything in there.
So yeah, so I must be really in the minority there if everyone likes it. I mean, like I said, I don't want to get this wrong. Don't get me wrong, I don't hate this film or even dislike it. I'm just in the middle. It's all right. I could do without so much topical issue overload. But does anybody, curious of all the students in your class, has anybody had like the similar complaints that I had?
The question that I asked them is, what do you think of the runtime? And if you were going to edit it, what would you take out? Mm-hmm. And lots of people say, well, I think they spent too much time on the love story, or I could have done without the flooding thread. But it goes over well because it's a nice story about tolerance. Mm-hmm. And after watching a lot of really serious movies or very topical movies about other subjects from other countries, it feels almost like a Valentine. Like, here's something you can think about that makes you think maybe in a way about something in a positive way that you weren't thinking.
Well, and this film also took off huge in Bollywood. It was not only big in Bollywood, but since that so much of this stuff takes place here in America, it was also pretty big as a grossing international film in America.
Yeah, it did really well in the United States. And I think it was helped by the fact that it was streamable on Netflix for a while, because that's how I came across it. Mm-hmm. And I watched it. I thought, oh, that's a pretty good movie. And I wonder if it would do well in the class, because I do want my class to know about Shah Rukh Khan. It's amazing that you can take a class in world cinema, you know, to leave without knowing who's the biggest star in the world. Would be sort of an oversight. Mm-hmm. But he's got a lot of movies to choose from. And this one, he really acts well. Mm-hmm. You know, his portrayal of that character is very sympathetic and funny.
Oh, yeah, definitely very funny. So going back to some questions I have about Bollywood, you know, and I've considered myself pretty a big film buff. But like I said, this is the first film I've seen of Bollywood, which is strange because it's the biggest producer of film in the world. And so I've always been curious about, like, what is, like, the biggest hits in Bollywood? Like, what is, like, would you say is, like, their Citizen Kane or, like, their Star Wars or what have you?
This one did really – My Name is Khan did really well, and then it was unseated by a movie called Three Idiots. They have – there's lots of good Bollywood films. I guess Devdas is probably one of the biggest ones. It depends on what you like. And another thing that I tell my students before we watch Bollywood, because lots of people have never seen it before and they don't know what to expect. And I give them the story about, you know, you're going to put everything in there. So you hit everybody's wants or wish list. But it also is a way to just be excessive. You know, you're going to have music, you're going to have a feast for the eyes, you're going to, it's going to be lots of color and sound and all of these things. It's very sensual, but it's not for everybody. And if you don't like musicals, it may not be your thing. And that doesn't mean anything bad about your taste. Mm-hmm. It's just a different kind of thing.
So what would, of all the years of Bollywood cinema, what would you say is like the big critical darling? Like, you know, I can hear everybody says Citizen Kane's the biggest American film. Like, well, what's like the big critical darling of Bollywood?
There's so many to choose from that it's kind of hard to say. Except I might say Devdas because it is a classic, but it's been sort of outshined by movies like My Name is Khan. I mean, anything with Shah Rukh Khan and Anand Kajol.
And I know you talked earlier about Three Idiots. Now, when I was looking at the when you look at the IMDb top 50, top 250, that film's in there. So have you seen that film?
Yeah, it's very funny. It's college students. That's a very, very popular theme. You know, people who knew each other when they were young and beautiful, and then they go on to relationships that some work out, some don't work out, very soap opera-like. That's a very popular way to set up the storyline.
You know, let's talk a little bit about, you know, you're talking about how you'd ask your students how they would edit down this movie. And I would do some edits. I would have cut out the whole hurricane incident and everything. I just felt that was a bit too much. Or even, I would even cut out the one scene that kind of just another thing was the scene when it's at the reunion. And then this, out of nowhere, here's this guy that stabs him because he turned in the one guy to the FBI. I would have gotten rid of that completely. I felt that was just more padding of the runtime. If you were the editor, what would you have taken out?
I used to think I would take out the flooding scene until I showed it that year when Hurricane Sandy happened. And I also realized that it is a parallel scene from the beginning. You know he's going to be able to figure out what to do because he did it before. You know, a lot of what he does, you know, the whole first part of the movie is sort of a setup that you understand he knows how to fix things. And then in the second half of the movie, it takes him beyond what he's able to fix. You know, you really can't fix people the way you can fix stuff.
But, you know, it is, you know, somewhat heartwarming that, you know, he's one that captivates the nation. And, you know, in the end, he does make a difference. He's this media figure and everybody loves.
You know, the one thing I find difficult in the movie is the young kid who plays the friend. He seems, I don't know, I think I would, I have more sympathy for him because I feel like he's sort of more trapped than he is given credit for. Mm-hmm. But I also think the actor in it is just awful.
That's another thing I did notice. And it's like, because I'm a big Hong Kong and Chinese cinema fan too. It's like when they get American actors in those movies or British actors, they're terrible. And I feel like when you have like the American actors in this movie, like I almost feels bad, but I almost laughed in this scene. It's when he goes to the President Bush rally and he says, "I'm not a terrorist." And then the guy goes, "Did he say terrorist?" And the other guy goes, "He's a terrorist." And I was laughing. It's like almost seems like something from like an SNL sketch or something.
It does. It really does. And then there's some things that don't really work in terms of the dialogue, the kids who are American kids saying bloody. That's a British thing to say. It clunks. It stops you for a moment and you think, wow, that doesn't sound authentic. But there's not a lot of missteps like that. Most things, if you know, you kind of get through them and then it gets onto another scene that has something likable.
And you're talking about the friend of the kid, and you were so when the kid turns away from him because they've been friends all this time, and even stuck with him during, you know, post 9/11 and stuck with them, but after his father dies in Afghanistan, he refuses to talk to him and he hates him. Do you buy that, or do you like, well, why would he stick through him through all of this? Then all of a sudden, and then now he decides to break off of his friendship with him.
It's hard to say because people deal with grief differently, but I agree with you. I mean, he knows the guy is not Muslim himself. He knows this kid. They've been friends for a long time. I guess it's just a way to make somebody the other, you know, and focus your anger on somebody rather than feeling like you have nothing, no way to fight back.
Yeah, I can see that. And I did. It was done better, I think, with the mom, because they set her up. She's this very cheerful and happy person. She's always happy. She likes her life. She's never, even beginning, for the first half of the film, she's never upset or angry with anybody. And then that completely changes when her son dies. And I can buy that. You have something like that tragically happen to you. Even if you were this cheerful, happy person, that person you were is definitely not going to be like that. And it's even heartbreaking when she blames Khan. And she knows deep down that it's not his fault, but she still blames him and she pushes him away. But I thought that part was done very well.
Yeah, and I think she has to really be very melodramatic. Mm-hmm. And not a lot of actors can do that without making it seem like, wow, they're really going over the top. I mean, mm-hmm. you feel like she's really experiencing it. It's hard for the whole audience to watch, really. I mean, you can hear people crying when that scene's on.
That scene was pretty rough too.
Yeah. Yeah, you don't think it's going to go there either.
Yeah,
it's
think
shocking.
Like, you think like at the worst he's going to get some bruises, but that's it. You didn't think like, oh.
I also never thought soccer was that dangerous before.
Yeah, I didn't know soccer ball could kill you even if it was kicked hard. But oh well. And so the other thing, you know, you talked earlier, the soundtrack, you know, isn't like, you know, Oh Brother, Where Art Thou, the soundtrack for that made it was even more popular in the movie. This soundtrack, I looked, was huge on the charts there in India. So was this soundtrack like even more bigger than the movie?
I think it was on par because, like I said, they release all the music beforehand. So everyone already knows the songs going in. And they make about 25% of their profit on the music.
It's interesting.
It's a big deal.
And we forgot to actually talk a little bit about the director for a bit, Karan Johar. So is he a big name director there? So if so, what other big films has he done that have really taken off in Bollywood?
He's made a couple of films. He's not one of the biggest directors, but he has made a couple of films with these two actors. One's called Kuch Kuch Hota Hai, and that is Shah Rukh Khan and Kajol as well. And he's made some other movies, but he's, I don't know if I would say that he's famous, but one of the things that he did say in the interview about this movie, he said that this movie is not about a disabled man's fight against disability. It's a disabled man's fight against the disability that exists in the world, terrorism, hatred, fighting. So he's a social issues director. You know, he likes to get his ideas in the film, not just entertain people. So when you're saying, wow, you know, he really beat me over the head with the, you know, I got it, you know, yeah. Got the message. He probably would be glad to hear that because he does like to put his messages in there.
Just likes to, okay. And so, you know, it's good when we talk about, you know, current films that, hey, these guys, you know, these actors and actresses and directors are still alive and they're still doing stuff. So in the, have you been looking up any of the directors or Kojar or Khan and any films they got coming up in the future?
Kajol does not have anything out now, but there was a movie after, been a couple movies I think since My Name is Khan with Shah Rukh Khan in them, which I saw at the Snowden.
Oh, okay.
Snowden has you know, first run Hindu films, and so you can actually go see 3 hours worth of Bollywood movie since it's now your favorite thing. And what they do actually is what they do in India. They show like an hour and a half. And then there's a substantial intermission because, you know, you got to go buy more food and go to the restroom and mm-hmm. come back for the rest of the movie.
And so for people who are beginners of Bollywood, like this is their first film, what other like films would you recommend that you start with?
Well, you know, we talked about how Slumdog Millionaire wasn't like truly Bollywood, but it's not a bad place to start in terms of that sense of music and span of time, universal stories, a couple of messages in there. But it's a more palatable runtime because it's 2 hours. And they have music in it, but it's done in what I call like that MTV style where, you know, they're on a train and you compress some time and distance by just making a montage of images with some music going with it. But in terms of true Bollywood, I would definitely watch this one. I would watch Three Idiots. Watch Devdas. And then I would, if you like it, then you would start watching the movies with the actors in it that you like. So there's some people really like Shah Rukh Khan. Some people don't like him at all. They like Amir Khan, who is in Fana. And he also did a wonderful movie called All the Stars in the Sky. Another story about a kid who has a dyslexia.
Hmm.
But this one, the kid is a kid and Amir Khan is the teacher.
Okay.
And he's able to understand the kid's disability through art. That's a really terrific movie as well.
Okay. And have any of these actors or actresses like broken into Hollywood, like the other guy we talked about previously?
Irfan Khan?
Yeah.
I don't think I've seen them in anything mainstream. I think because they're so famous and well-regarded in India, why come here and just be sort of half-noticed? Mm. Or not be the star? You know, to be, I hate to say it, you know, the sidekick, the friend.
Yeah, and Irfan Khan in Jurassic World, he was definitely the comic relief in that movie.
He's done a lot of great stuff. He was in Slumdog Millionaire and several other things.
Yeah. Jurassic World, though, that's a terrible movie. But anyway.
He was great in Life of Pi.
Oh, okay. I'll have to check that. I haven't seen that.
Now, Shah Rukh Khan and Kajol were the first Indian movie stars to ring the opening bell of the New York Stock Exchange, NASDAQ. They were invited by Fox Searchlight Pictures to do this as part of their promotion for My Name is Khan. So, I mean, they've done press junkets here, and some people in the United States do know about them. But they're not household names by any means, which is sort of strange when you think about it, since they're so famous everywhere else.
Yeah, just except here. And so I guess getting closer to my questions here, is there anything we haven't covered or talked about this film or anything else that you want to bring up now?
Well, it did win the Filmfare Awards, which are one of the Oscars that they have. And it won for Best Director, Best Actor, and Best Actress, which is like the big three.
Mm-hmm. Okay, then. So,
and it's just simply called MNIK.
Oh, okay.
To those in the know. And Shah Rukh Khan himself is also called SRK.
All right, and Kajol, that's just a nickname for her, right? Or just her
last
name?
That's just her first name. It's like Cher or Madonna.
All right, and then last question. So you tell us how you've been bringing this film into your classes.
Well, I usually show Shah Rukh Khan and Katrina Kaif in a clip from another movie, the one that I saw in Snowden, because it's a terrific dance sequence. And especially since I know it's not your thing, I will send you the clip so you can see what you think. Because the dancing itself is just really well done. It kind of reminds me of when I first saw Thriller on MTV. Mm-hmm. And they just had these incredible dance sequences. And no matter how many times you watched it, it was always interesting to look at. And the song was so catchy, too. So I show that to give people a taste of, you know, this is what Bollywood dancing is going to look like. So if you're going to look into Bollywood movies, this is what you're going to see. And isn't it cool? Okay. And then sometimes I will show a clip from Fana, because it does a wonderful montage through one of their songs where you see all these wonderful shots of Kajol. And it's all cut to the music beautifully. So it's just a sequence that shows, oh, just lovely images, like rain falling so beautifully. It looks like diamonds falling out of the sky. Just really pretty shots. And, you know, a lot of the scenes in these movies, especially those sequences that don't really make any sense because they're really kind of exposition, they're just really, really beautiful to look at. So I'll show that to say, you know, this is what you get to do. You get to stop and look, and the beauty is amazing. So make sure you take in all the details. And then the following week, you know, the movie takes up the whole class. So all my prep has to be done beforehand.
Okay. Well, that wraps up this episode of The Armchair Directors. We have been talking about director Karan Johar and his hit 2010 film, My Name is Khan. Don't forget, you can listen to The Armchair Directors every Thursday at 9:30 a.m., Sunday at 2:30 p.m., or anytime at armchairdirectors.podomatic.com. Professor Westhaver, I want to thank you again for coming on the show today.
Thanks for having me.
For The Armchair Directors, I'm your host, Alex Baker, saying, Manaz Herbal Beauty Products will make you glow like a newly wed bride.
I shall leave you as you left me.
As you left her.
Marooned for all eternity in the center of a dead planet. Buried alive. Buried alive.